FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today's May 10th, 2017. Well, the French election results are in. Did the good guys win, or were there no good guys? Andrew Hoffman is with us now in somewhat modified form. Andy, good morning. Hope you're feeling okay.
Yes, thank you, Kerry. I'm on a lot of cough medicines because I have pneumonia right now, so I'm going to try to avoid having a coughing attack. But yes, as for the French election, the article I wrote on Monday, which is 8 pages long, a must read, was called "Who's Better for Precious Metals, Macron or Le Pen?" And obviously, the short-term answer would be Le Pen. But the fact is, the reason we got to this point where Europe's on the verge of collapse in France is because of people like Macron, like Francois Hollande, and he's frankly far worse than Hollande was. So I think the ECB is on the same money printing. It's been, you know, given a brand new mandate on money printing and hyperinflation. And I think it won't be long before, just like the Trumpflation meme has died, the Macronflation meme will die in France.
Yeah, well, this guy is a total joker, a lightweight in every sense of the word. He's a composite candidate who was kind of just created out of whole cloth to stop Le Pen. The guy is just a liar. They caught him with foreign bank accounts that he said he didn't have. The guy, I won't even get into his romantic past. That doesn't really have any place. It's just an indicator of who this person is. And, you know, in 6 months, they're going to be trying to figure out how to get rid of him, too.
Yeah, he definitely was created for beating her. But, you know, when it comes down to it, I think people, it was kind of like the Swiss referendum. They kind of terrorized the public and made them think, look, if you vote to save our Swiss gold and, you know, you make us have to buy gold, it's going to cause markets to crash and we're not going to be able to maintain our peg with the euro, which, of course, they got rid of 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing here. It would have been a Brexit times 100 result. The markets would have crashed. Gold would have exploded. That would have been the end of the gold cartel and all hell would have broken loose. And I think the people, I remember, what, it's not 65% of the people that voted for Macron. It's 65% of the voters.
Yeah.
So, you know, most of the people didn't even show up. But I think the ones that did were scared. They were scared that, you know, it's not like Marine Le Pen is Joan of Arc. And they were scared of what would have happened if she was elected. And so they voted for this complete nobody who's going to be more of the same. And the problem is, you know, I mean, Hollande had the lowest approval rating in French presidential history. He's the only one in any Western country to ever not run for re-election because he was so unpopular. And that's the state France is in right now. And this guy, all his credentials were, is he was the economic minister for 2 years under this guy at ages 36 and 37. So now he's thrown into this mess. He has no plan. It's just going to be more of the same for France. France's economy will collapse. The immigration will continue. The social unrest and all the other issues that are going on in Western Europe. And most importantly, if you're in the precious metals realm, it gives the ECB the full bore mandate to continue doing what it's doing. I mean, right now we're at an all time high. I mean, it's funny because they talk about the Fed and they're tightening policy, et cetera. And, you know, the Fed is still under, they haven't reduced their balance sheet one penny and they're still under 1% their interest rate. But globally, the amount of QE is $250 billion a month right now. It's the highest it's ever been. And with the economy falling apart and now commodities are falling and the Chinese credit bubble is falling apart and, you know, we're zero GDP. It's only a matter of time before, as I call it, the most overdue financial crisis in history arrives.
Yeah. And arrive it will. Right. There's nothing to stop it here that I can see.
Yeah. All that's stopping it right now is, and, you know, especially, you know, you read my last two articles, the one that Le Pen and Macron thing was 8 pages long. And the one yesterday I wrote was about 5 pages long. And I'm just showing, I'm like, look, the central banks are telling you we are buying up the stock market and the bond markets and the oil markets. We have nothing left. We are just printing money and we're not even reporting most of it. We're just buying up every asset market with that we can to just hold the things together, because in the political realm, the geopolitical realm, the economic realm, the monetary realm, and everything's falling apart. It's like, you know, the euro. Remember, I've been saying all along about how the euro is going to collapse. And, you know, there was a trade going on for a while. Oh, if Macron wins, it'll save the euro. No, it won't. The euro is falling now. And now that you're seeing oil and other commodities falling, you're seeing the, you know, the commodity currencies are starting to plunge. I think the Canadian dollar, like, just hit multi-year low the other day or yesterday.
And 73. I was there. I was in Vancouver, and it was nice because stuff was getting cheaper while I was just standing there at the front desk of the hotel. It was, it hasn't happened to me. I don't usually arbitrage my vacations very well.
Hey, I arbitrage my gas purchases given my expert understanding of where oil prices are going.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, Canada is a perfect example. You know, Home Capital Group, which is their countrywide credit, is, you know, any day it'll be gone. It's going to be a complete countrywide credit implosion, their historic housing bubble, and their economy is based on oil, oil revenues, and you know, oil prices are falling apart, and now the currency is down. And, you know, this is just one of, you know, dozens of nations around the world that are facing all these same kind of problems. And now that, you know, this election is passed and we can go back to the normal of the dollar strengthening because of liquidity fears around the world, especially in China, where they're tightening up the market. I mean, right now, it's, you see the Dow goes up every day. Meanwhile, the Chinese stock market, which is as controlled as any, has been falling like every day for the last 3 weeks. Commodities there are falling. The yuan is getting darn close to that 7.0 to the dollar again. No one's even watching it. And, you know, so again, I mean, something's going to happen soon. Might even be bombing North Korea. I mean, who knows what it's going to be something. And it's going to be soon because, you know, the Trumpflation honeymoon's over. The Macron honeymoon will be over within minutes because it's a net bad for France. And all the other things in the world are just getting worse.
Yeah. Well, I think you're correct on that score. And definitely North Korea is looking like the confrontation du jour. But we've also got Syria and we've got Venezuela now. We've got troops or ships off of the coast of Venezuela.
And Afghanistan. I'm reading he wants to send more troops there. It's like, I mean, enough already. Really? Yeah. We got to send troops. We got to send the army everywhere.
Can't
and you think about what a screwed up world it is that the president of the United States or all these other countries gets to be the commander in chief. I mean, can you imagine? We have Donald Trump is in charge of the military, or before him Barack Obama or George Bush. I mean, how insane is it that these are the people making decisions? And around the world, it's the same thing. Bunch of politicians, lawyers, businessmen. I mean, it's bad enough when military people make such decisions. But
yeah.
I mean, look what he's done already. Yeah, let's send our fleet to Korea and start a nuclear war. Let's just bomb Syria for fun. Hey, let's send more troops to Afghanistan. Let's go down off to Venezuela and South Korea and everywhere. This is fun. This is like Risk. This is like Stratego.
Oh, God, I remember that game. Yeah, I spent hours at it. Little did I know our foreign policy would once resemble the game. But, you know, we get into the across-the-board plunge in U.S. economic data. Pretty much all numbers are down. Car sales, real estate sales, you name it, mortgages, all down.
Oh, it's just incredible. You know, the Fed comes out and says now we're going to have 4.5% GDP growth in the second quarter. I'm going, well, you said we're going to have 3.5% growth last quarter we had, and then you got down to 0.2, and that'll be revised lower. In last year, you said it would be 4%, and it wound up being 1.5%, and now you can have 4.5%. It's like, I mean, just shut up already. This is the cough medicine kicking in. They talk about all these, even the soft data, they talk about the soft data, all this record confidence that's out there. And I'm going, but Gallup just put out a poll that said that this is the lowest economic confidence since the election. And then there was another one that came out yesterday that said household spending plans are at the lowest in 4 years. More importantly, actual retail sales have been falling off a cliff. Car sales plateaued, you know, in Ford's words, 6 or 9 months ago, and inventories are at an all-time high, and yet we're told everything's going to get better, and I just don't get it. More importantly, it's going to be because of Trump's policies, but he hasn't done anything because he can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And not that those things that he wants to do are going to do much anyway, but it's, again, people, you know, today's article is called It's All About Reality, because let's face it, when you're talking about financial markets, no more. There's no more financial markets. There's no more economic data. There's no more news. fake news. I mean, you have to just see for yourself what's going on around you. And I don't even know that anyone really is looking at the Dow anymore, because so many people lost their shirts between 2000 and 2008. It's only the handful, the 1%, the less than 1% that got all the free money. Yep. That's benefiting from this. And the rest of us are struggling. When they try to hold down safe haven assets, they buy themselves a little time, but to what end? Because ultimately, what's happening in Bitcoin right now, which is it's almost impossible to manipulate other than like by jawboning and capital controls, which ultimately they can't control, is what's going to happen in precious metals and really any other thing that when people start to fear the currencies collapsing, which they will, they're going to race out and try to do anything they can to protect themselves, their assets, because we are in, as I wrote last week, we're in dot-com valuations in a Great Depression era. And unfortunately, that Great Depression is going to get a lot worse because we have to repay the debt. And right now it's parabolically rising at record low interest rates, I might add. So look, people, you got to do something now if you haven't already, because the end game is here. And elections in France don't mean a thing. Nothing means a thing except the debt, which has to be repaid and can't.
Yep. The debt is never going to be repaid. It's going to be repudiated one way or the other. We've said that many, many a time. And now we're also looking at metals, like you said, end game here. What's with silver?
Well, look, we look at the COT report, right? The COMEX stuff, and you have to take it with a grain of salt because everything the government publishes is a lie. But there's a mosaic that gets built here of what's going on, and the inventories are down to essentially their all time low. It's like $500 million worth of actual silver inventory there. And as I showed yesterday, every day, it's been for years and years, the prices are up in China where all the actual demand is, and then they fall in the paper markets here. But the paper markets are becoming more discredited with each passing day. And what you've seen this year is unlike anything before, because the data doesn't lie. I've been keeping track of the COT data on a weekly basis for 15 years. Going back, I've dated 30 years, and this is by far, not even close, by far the biggest COMEX commercial short position in history. And the only time it was even close was last year, right after the Brexit, when they had an actual reason to try to slow the rise. But here you've seen this, I don't want to say parabolic surge, but it's pretty close to a parabolic surge in speculative buying of paper silver, which has been offset by a equally huge record-setting naked short position, because they're basically, so when people tell you that no one wants silver, it's not a, precious metals are outdated and everything's cool. No, they're buying more than ever. They're stupid for doing it on the COMEX, as if they can't learn the lesson. But the point is, there's record demand for silver right now. And in the physical markets in the Western, in the Eastern worlds where the currency's crashing, people are buying it hand over fist. So all that's really left is, how long can you, how much naked shorting can you pile on of with silver that doesn't exist? How much longer before people get scared, before there's a crisis and people actually want silver like they did in 2008, like they did in 2011, 2013. There's going to be a run on the actual metal at some point. We've had many before. And, to think that all that's going on in the world, we haven't had any kind of crisis at all because of all this market manipulation that has taken us to these dot-com valuations in a Great Depression era. It's coming. And when it does, it's going to be a major shortage. And it's not going to be like 2008 where they could reverse it with lots of money printing. This time around, the silver will go and the gold will go, no offer. And it's kind of like Bitcoin. I was saying the Chinese, they instituted capital controls on the Bitcoin exchanges because they were scared that people were going to use it as a means of fleeing the country, capital flight and getting out of the yuan. And what did people do? They just bought in other places. They bought in the black market. And so the prices soared. And it's the same kind of thing here. Eventually, the government's going to lose control of these kind of decentralized commodities, be it Bitcoin or gold or silver. And that's how people are going to store their value, because they're going to be scared of these ridiculous financial assets being so overvalued.
Yeah, no doubt. You can see it coming here. Yeah, Bitcoin at 1800. Who would have thunk, huh?
Yeah, Yeah, well, I mean, it's a changing paradigm. The world is changing in a hurry, and it won't be long before something causes the all-out collapse in confidence in fiat currencies. That, you know, it's been ongoing for years, but you know, the big one is coming, and it's going to be here soon.
Yeah, I think you are correct. And hey, the VIX, look at that record low volatility and fear. You know, that should tell you something, right?
It should tell you that markets have never been more rigged.
Yeah.
And it's astounding to me. I mean, like, again, these last 2 days articles, 8 pages was 1 in 5. And I'm just going, look, here's the Swiss telling you, you know, that it's like the top 5 stocks in the NASDAQ, you know, Facebook and Apple, Google, Microsoft, and I forgot what the fifth one is. I don't know. But the point is that that's like 40% of the gains in the NASDAQ when they tell you the NASDAQ's doing so great because it's market capitalization weighted.
Right.
And, you know, you see that Bank of Switzerland's telling you we bought 90 billion of U.S. stocks in the last 2 years and like 20 billion in the last 3 quarters, in the last 3 months. And yeah, our biggest 3 holdings, our biggest 5 holdings are these 5 stocks. So basically saying, yeah, we are buying the stock market. And yeah, Japan is buying the stock market. And of course, the Fed is buying the stock market. That's what the dead ringer algorithm is. You know, when they buy, when every day the Dow bottoms at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is their open market operations. And, you know, it's kind of the point where there's no pretense anymore. It's just 100% rigging the markets because they know that that's the only way to keep the game going at all. And you know, economic mother nature always wins, particularly in physical markets like oil, where the glut is shining through right now, and precious metals where production is in free fall. So, you know, I mean, they'll lose. And then you got the, you know, things like Bitcoin, which will come in and help destroy the, I call Bitcoin and precious metal the twin destroyers of fiat regime, because the governments won't be able to stop it. And because it's decentralized. So again, you know, there's all the attack vectors that are coming in on the powers that be politically, geopolitically, monetarily, economically, socially, are all working together to, you know, to destroy what must mathematically be destroyed. And with 7.5 billion people participating, you know, it's going to happen. In many places, it already has, and where it hasn't, it will.
Yeah, and I think we will leave it at that. So go, we'll give you a break now, Andy. Go check out Andy's work over at milesfranklin.com. Sign up for his daily newsletter and frequent audio blogs. Check us out on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. We've been officially designated, Andy, fake news.
Oh, really? By who?
I have no idea, but I got a thing from a guy who's obviously not a listener, and he's got a list. I'm going to send you the link. I'm going to publish it in this week's newsletter with roughly 1,000 sites that have been determined mostly to be fake news by some college professor or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The woman in the Northeast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she got Liberty Blitzkrieg too and Zero. Yeah. She didn't get Miles Franklin, though.
Oh, well, hey. But she said that we are unreliable and that we are... what else did they say? We're unreliable. I don't know what that means. And we have bias. Now, look, as far as reliability goes, I've been doing this pretty consistently for 6 years, putting out podcast after podcast. And our webmaster, Stefan, never misses a day. So I don't know. Like, we're reposting other people's work. So we're getting, I don't get the whole thing.
Gary, you're very unreliable. Come on, let's face it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's what my ex says also. But, but, you know, the other thing is that this listener who will just go by the name, the initials JM, tells me that I'm anti-science. And why do you think I'm anti-science, Andy?
I mean, well, obviously, you know, this person is you know, putting together like 100 sites and making a generalization. But that's kind of a...
This is the person who forwarded me this list. He said, I'm anti-science. Why? Because I question the existence of man-made climate change being the primary reasons for our climate changing. And that's why I'm anti-science. All right.
Wait, because so you have to support, you know, climate change theory to be worthy of the news?
Yeah, to be worthy of science, according to this guy. You have to accept the orthodoxy, the line. And you know what this thing is all about. It's all about control, getting more money, taxes, controlling the populace. Because as we found out, I said, well, what about the ClimateGate emails? And it's like, well, six separate investigations said that they're okay. I said, did you read those ClimateGate emails where they specifically talk about manipulating the data, changing the data, that the hockey stick doesn't work? He never addresses that. Said, you know, we've got that. We've got this guy who was in the NOAA who said he just left, that he was forced to manipulate data. He said, but the reports are accurate. I said, well, if your report's based on fraudulent data or deliberately false data that you've accumulated and put together over time, how can the premise be proven correct? But he never addresses that. It's always, you know, some nonsense. So,
well, look, the world is, you know, don't get too wrapped up. Just, no. You should be honored to be considered a fake news site. And, you know, the people that are making this stuff up are lunatics. I mean,
craziness.
Lunatics is the best word. Yeah.
Absolute craziness. And I don't know if Google's going to take this and run with it. I don't really care. We don't really need Google. Our audience expands on its own without any Google manipulation or attempt to make Google carry us higher up or whatever. So, hey, thought you'd like to know that you were just talking to fake news.
Yes, I guess I am too.
Yeah, well, hey, welcome to the club. It's very exclusive, Andy.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm glad I made it through this. I got one more.
All right.
This is Andy on drugs. So,
yeah. Hey, feel better, Andy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks very much.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.